You are listening to the Life Church Podcast. To learn more about Life Church, our gathering times at any of our central Indiana locations, or our Life Crew online, visit us at lifechurchin.com or follow the link in the description. Today's talk is from Pastor Ross Steele.
There's a little difference between the two, although they sometimes stress will, you know, push us towards anxiety at times. But anxiety is an inward feeling, an inward emotion response to the situations we're in, whereas stress is the outward pressures that maybe we put on ourselves, but also that others may put on us as well. So there's a little difference there, and we're going to dive in. But when it comes to stress, I know one thing for me, it just always feels like there's something. It's always something. Whether we get out of one battle and then we're right into the next, or there's multiple things piling on, it seems like we can never get a break. We can never get a break. Who here in this last week, or maybe today already, that you woke up and you were already stressed, or this last week, show of hands, who was stressed at some time or another? Y'all a bunch of liars, because I know there is stress going on in our world, because that we are at such a fast-paced society that we're always looking for more. We're always looking for the next thing, and it's never enough. And then we put our families on the line. We put our personal health on the line because of all these things we're trying to accomplish. But it really is just the stress in our lives. And there's one truth that I'm going to bring back near the end of this service that I want you to remember today. If you remember anything from this message, I hope you remember this. It's that I can't control what happens to me, but with God's help, I can choose my response. I can choose my response. You know, there's a saying that says there's 10% of life is about what happens to you. 90% is how we respond to it. You know, we can cultivate a culture in our lives that is a healthy culture when we are facing the battle of stress. And I want to jump to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start in the first half of verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. It'll be up on the screen as well. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. It's the first part of verse 1. This is what we need in our lives. This is a reminder. We have a great crowd of witnesses around us in the life of faith. And sometimes when we have these people around us, sometimes when we're in moments of stress, we want someone to feel sorry for us, when what we really need is someone to challenge us. This is a victim mentality that many of us have fallen into at one time or another. Definitely people in this world that aren't living by biblical standards definitely live in this victim mentality. But we need people in our life who can challenge us, who can pray with us through moments, but also to challenge us. It's not that all stress is bad. There is good stress in our lives, and we need to adjust our focus on what stress actually is. And a way to have, we look at the huge crowd of witnesses, an example, perfect example of this, is we need the people like this in our lives to hold us accountable. These are the people in your life group. Your life group, if you are not in a life group and you're new to Life Church, then you could connect with Pastor Tori or Denise Dye here at the Noblesville campus. They'll get you plugged into a life group. We are made to do life together. We were made to do life together. Whether we want to celebrate, whether we want to grieve, we have a great unit here called life groups. And we say all the time at Life Church, we're not a church with life groups. We are a church of life groups. That's because our hope and our desire is that every single person that attends Life Church is in a life group. I harp on it all the time over at Pendleton, because I know how important it is. We need people to grieve with. We need people to celebrate with. We also need people who will hold us accountable in our lives. People that will call us on our crap when we're going the wrong way, and people that can encourage us when we're doing things well. We need that in our lives. And Hebrews, the second half of verse 1, says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. There's a Greek, the compound word, the Greek translation of that compound word is to throw off, meaning to lay down and push beyond our reach. Push it beyond our reach. That means we're not just setting it down and we're going to come back to it later so we can still get it. No, it's we're going to take all this weight that we're putting on ourselves that we've allowed to carry that is not our weight to carry to begin with, and we're going to set it down and throw it off beyond our reach. Over at the Pendleton campus, so I have a glass dish that sits on Anna. Anna is my ministry assistant over at the Pendleton campus and sits on her desk. And it's filled with Starburst jelly beans. Starburst jelly beans, love it. Anybody like jelly beans here? Anybody? They're so-so. But you get the Starburst jelly beans, and that's a different story. They slap. I'll be real with you. I love it. I love them. And every time I find myself in her office, I find myself with another handful. And if I sit in there long enough, I got, you know, 2, 3, 4 handfuls. Then I got to go get another bag because it's all gone. And just an example of this, I have to pick this thing up, set it over by the window, just to be able to come down and sit down for a meeting without being tempted by the thing that I know that I don't necessarily need. And I eat enough of them. Well, it's not good. I kind of get sick afterwards. But all that to say, the same goes with our stress. We need to take this and put it beyond our reach so that we're not even tempted to pick it back up. And James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." That doesn't make any sense. How are we supposed to consider it joy when we are facing battles in our life, when we are facing the trials in our life? But this is what the Word of God says. That means we should probably do this. We must consider it joy. That means we choose joy. I say all the time to my team, we choose joy. And it doesn't matter what we came in with. I'm not saying to be fake. I'm not saying to put on a front. I'm just saying, hey, yeah, I get this situation's hard and you're walking through something really hard, but God is still good and he's still greater than this. So we're going to choose joy over this situation. And we have a responsibility as believers. We are an example. We are the salt and the light of this world. We have an example that we have to live by here, that we choose joy in every situation. In every trial that we face, we get to represent what Christ has called us to do and who he is. He is greater than everything that we will ever face. And the thing with stress is it puts us in weird situations. Sometimes it brings on anxiety, sometimes fear, and then there's worry about a number of different things. But whatever the situation is, our situation isn't a jail that imprisons us, but a school that shapes us. Not all stress is bad stress. Some of it we need. We need stress at times to shape us into who God wants us to be able to run the race that he has set before you and I this morning. See, around the time that Hebrews was written, this was when the Greeks, they loved their sports, they loved their competitions, and the Olympics. Everybody knows what the Olympics are. Well, way back when, around the time, this is when Hebrews was written, talking about the Greek athletes, the Olympic athletes that were going on. And oftentimes, the runners specifically, and even, you know, whatever it was, they would always do more. They would always put on more weight to be able to help them, to train them up into where they want to be. So they would put their body under stress during the training season, during the training moments, so that when the race actually came, when it was time to run the race that they had been planning for, or in our case, what God has set out for us, that they were ready. They would then strip off all the weight, just like we're told, strip it off, throw it aside. They'd strip off all the weight, and actually, sometimes they would go down to like nothing. They'd be running naked. And you know, we think we created the naked mile. Nope, they created the naked mile. They'd shave all their hair, because for runners, it said that for every pound, it would add 1.4 seconds to their time. So, I mean, you see now today, I mean, people running marathons or mini marathons or, you know, all the other crazy stuff, triathlons, Ironmans, whatever. They wear the lightest stuff or very minimal because every weight means something. But when they train, I guarantee you they're not training with that. They're training with extra weight so that it helps them for what they have ahead of them. We can do the same. We can look at our situations of stress and say, this is forming me into who I need to be for the race that God has set before me. The truth is, there is always purpose in our pain. Always purpose in our pain. And it's hard to see at times when we are struggling, when we are under the stress, when we are in the anxiety, loneliness, depression, whatever it may be, God will use all things for His good. He will. That's the truth. We just sang about it. What the enemy meant for evil, He will use for good. That is the truth of the Word of God. There is always purpose. God, nothing goes to waste in our situations and our circumstances. In Colossians 4, chapter 2, says this, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And I'm going to hit on these three things, prayer, alert, and thanksgiving, about how we respond and how we should respond in times of stress. The first of these is to pray diligently. Pray diligently. And it's not just to pray when we feel like it or pray when we're in the valley, but also praying when we're on the mountaintop. Like, it's praying diligently in all circumstances. And some of that is hard for us at times because we look at devotion to the Lord as sometimes, if we're being honest with ourselves, we look at devotion to the Lord as really hard. We look at it as like, I'm not getting it right. It's, you know, it takes too much time. I got to wake up so much earlier or I have so much going on. Martin Luther King, he actually would spend, if he had a busier day, he would spend more time in the morning with the Lord before his day went. And if he had a lighter day, he would spend a little bit less time. But you'd think it'd be opposite. But he knew how important devotion was. And the truth is, devotion is easy. Devotion is easy. It's just, we put it all on the wrong things. We focus on the sports. We focus on the money. We focus on our relationships. We focus on all the things. It's so easy to devote our lives to our children and our spouses. All those things are good. Don't hear me saying those aren't good. But the most important relationship we have in our life is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have to put Him first above all things, or else things are going to be out of order. Things are going to be all out of whack, and we can't afford that in our lives. We can't afford that. And when it comes to stress, we tend to worry. And we worry a lot, but here's a simple phrase. If I can worry, I can pray. If I can worry, I can pray. If I can stress about it, if I could take the time to stress about it and get my blood pressure all high now, no, I can pray about it and bring the blood pressure back down. It's not worth our time. It's not worth all the gray hairs and losing hair and all that stuff to worry about it when we can just pray about it. And I know that may seem like just an overarching, very broad, like blanket statement, but it's still true. You can't argue with it because prayer changes things. And a part of prayer, in our prayer time, in our devotion, is an act of worship. Worship isn't just singing a song. There are so many things. Receiving, giving of our tithe and our offering, that is worship. Praying is worship. Lifting His name above every other name is worship. And the thing about worship is it reminds us how much bigger God is than whatever it is we're facing. See, He's not just supposed to be worshiped for what He can do for us. God should be, in our lives, worshiped for who He is, plain and simple. He shouldn't be worshiped just because of what He can give us and what He can protect us from or anything like that. He should just be worshiped in our lives, in our heart. He should just be worshiped for who He is, because He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and nothing, nobody can take that away from Him. He deserves all of our honor, all of our praise. The second bit of Colossians is to stay alert. We must stay alert at all times. Why? Because 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Be on the alert. This would be like walking through the safari and just not caring about anything going on around you. You think about it, you're toast. You're gone. You're gonzo, I promise you. Not that we want that to happen. It's just the truth. And we have to realize that there is someone out to get us. And it's the truth because the word says it, right? I'm not just saying these things to scare you. It's just facts. Someone is out to get you, and we cannot afford to leave our posts. We can't afford to leave our posts. What is our post? Our post can be our schoolwork. Our post can be our marriages. Our post can be our finances. Our post can be our mind. We cannot afford to leave our post. We must stand firm, stand rooted on the word of God, because when the enemy comes to attack, and he will, because he is out for our souls, we have to know the word, because we have to fight with the word. Just as Jesus was tempted by the devil, Jesus knew the word. He didn't sing the word. He spoke the word. We have to know the word to be able to speak the word. And we have to be fighting, not waiting, just waiting for something to happen. We have to be on offense. We have to be on guard, on alert at all times, because the enemy will use our seasons of stress. He will use our moments of stress to take us out and to weaken us, so that him and his minions can have a field day with us and our lives, our marriages, our minds, our finances, our children, our community, whatever it may be, you name it, we cannot afford to leave our posts. And third thing, the third portion of Colossians is to be grateful. It's to be grateful in every circumstance, in every situation. 1 Thessalonians says to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. That means not just the mountaintops when he answers our prayer, but also the valleys when we're in our waiting season. And he's preparing us and shaping us into the individual that he has called us to be. And the truth is that happiness really is just a feeling, where joy is a choice. It is a choice. And how do we make that choice? By being grateful. By coming up with things that we can have gratitude towards. And happiness is that feeling. And sometimes, you know, I'll say on Sunday mornings, we'll come in over at Pendleton, and people come in with weight. They come in with weight and burdens that they've carried throughout the whole week. And I don't expect everybody to be happy all the time. I'm not happy all the time, but I know that I have joy. I have joy that I can choose, and I choose it by being grateful for all that the Lord has done, all that he is doing, and all that he will do. It is a choice, and I tell my team all the time, we choose joy. We choose joy. It doesn't matter what we're facing, we choose joy. And when we begin to be grateful, when we begin to think of all the things that God has done, and remembering his faithfulness, it's really a reminder for us and our minds and our hearts of all that he's done. When we begin to be grateful, things begin to die. Things begin to die when we are grateful. What are these things? What are you talking about, Ross? It's the jealousy. It's the anger. It's the fear. It's the lust. It's the envy. It's all the attacks of the enemy. It's all the things that are not in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. All those things go to die. And then we're filled by his Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit live in our hearts, and we live it out. And we begin to live it out because our gratitude sets the pace for what we're doing and where we are going. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. How many of us here have had something happen? We know that maybe the Lord has pushed us in a certain direction, and we definitely don't want to do it. And I'll say, yeah, Lord, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to go without kicking or screaming. If we're being honest with ourselves, how many are here that when we know we're stepping into what the Lord has called, we still do it with grumbling or disputing? And some of you are better than the other, than me probably, because I'll be honest, when Pastor Nathan asked me to go over to Pendleton just 2 years ago, I said no. Like, nope, not happening. I love it here. I ain't leaving. And then he asked me to pray about it. And then, well, not that it was a mistake, but, well, prayed about it, and the Lord had other plans. But I definitely was complaining, and I had my grumblings with people close to me because I really didn't want to leave. I love this campus. Side note, something my mom always said, here's the thing. I always say I'm my mom's favorite. And it's not because I believe, like, it's just the truth. I mean, everybody knows it. And my mom, she hears it, she knows. But what she always says when I say that, she's like, my favorite is whoever I'm with. And I'm like, okay, I know that I'm your favorite. Whatever. You're just trying to please them. And I'll pull a Mama Steele. You guys are my favorite. You guys are my favorite campus, right? Tangent. Philippians chapter 4, we continue on. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. It takes work. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you have lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Can we learn to be content in whatever circumstances we face? Can we learn that? Can we trust in God above all things, even especially when things don't go the way we necessarily think they should or the way that we plan to? Can we learn, can we teach ourselves how to be content in all of the circumstances that come our way? Because gratitude is based on Christ. It's not based on our circumstances. It's not based on our circumstances. We can choose joy even though our circumstances don't necessarily go according to plan or just how we thought they would. You know, we come up with all these goals and plans and how we're going to get there, but when they don't go our way or when the stress of life tends to overwhelm us, we just kind of sit back and we take it. A lot of us, we just take it. Pastor Tina, when we were preparing for this message, she actually said to me, she said, Ross, I'm actually kind of worried about you preaching this because you're just so, like, you love the pressure. You love the stress around you, and it motivates you, and not everybody else is that way. And I understand that. Not everybody's that way. It probably, hopefully, doesn't cause me, you know, health issues down the road. But I motivate under pressure, which is why I procrastinate a lot. So that's my excuse. So, but really, we have to recognize that when it comes to the pressures of stress, that our lives aren't defined by our circumstances, but our lives are defined by Christ and what he says and who he has called us to be. And we all the time, I know any of us in here have complained about one thing or another, and we have all these lists of things that went wrong or things that we are unhappy with, but where are we when it comes to things we're grateful for? Do we have a list for that? It's so easy to keep track of all the things that didn't go right. Are we keeping track of all the things that did go right? And this is the complaint list and the gratitude list. And the complaint list is far less than the gratitude list. If we can boost our gratitude list and write, hey, for every one thing that went wrong, can we write three things that went right? In our day-to-day life, you know, when we hit traffic, instead of complaining about traffic, can we be grateful that we have a car? You know, when drama stirs up at work, instead of complaining about the people we work with, can we be grateful that we have a job? When we have to pay our property taxes at the beginning or end of the year, whenever yours is, instead of complaining about the property taxes and, you know, the other things going on around us, can we be grateful that we have a home and we have a bed to lay our head in? That's real in our lives. It's so easy to point out all the negative. Can we change and train our minds to point out all the things that God has given us? They're not bad problems to have. Do we like paying taxes? No, we don't. Ever, okay? It's just the truth. We threw the T into the, you know, ravine, whatever. Not ravine. Harbor. We threw the T in the harbor and started a new country for a reason. But here we are. We don't like it, but it shows we got a job. It shows we got a vehicle. It shows we have purpose here. And can we choose, instead of complaining, to be grateful. Again, just as I started this message, I can't control what happens to me, but with God's help, I can choose my response. I bring that up again because I can choose my response. I have six I can statements. I have six I can statements that if we can speak over our situations, if we could speak over our lives, we'll quickly shift from a complaint list to a gratitude list. That when the moments of stress come and rise up in us, that we can train our minds and our bodies to react differently than what we always have. The first of these is that I can run to God and others. We can run to God and others. We can trust our life group with the battles we face in our life, and we can trust God above all else. I can worship. Really, what these statements are is they're giving you permission, because for so long, some of you here maybe have always shifted to the complaining and the victim mentality, that it's hard to give yourself permission to do these things when the stress or the anxiety or the fear, the worry, the loneliness, depression, when they come at you. You need to give yourself permission to do this. I can worship, because whether we're in the valley or the mountaintop, He deserves our worship. He deserves it. I can focus on eternity, because even though this situation right now that we face is hard and it is a challenge and it is brutal, it feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. The light at the end of the tunnel is eternity. We can focus on what is to come and not necessarily right here in this moment and let it tear us down. I can trust God, because some of us have battled with other people in our life. Maybe it was a father, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a church leader that betrayed your trust, that hurt you, and now it's hard for you to trust God. But this is permission that you have to give yourself. I can trust God. I can learn from life situations. In every situation, good or bad, no matter what comes, you can, I can, we can, as a whole, learn from these situations. And from those situations, I can use my pain to help others. You think there's no purpose in your pain? I tell you, you're wrong, because I've been in moments where I've had my own pain, I've had my own struggle, where I've been able to come right alongside somebody who's walked through it, or who is walking through it right in this moment, and share my own story to give them a piece of hope. The things you've learned in that moment, you can use the pain that you're going through right in this very moment. God can use it, and He will. And even if it changes one life and brings one person to know the love of Jesus, it's worth it. It is so worth it. And I got one prayer that I want to share with you, that maybe you could take it and begin to pray it out. Make it a daily habit. Begin to train your mind on how we're going to respond in situations. It's called the Serenity Prayer. Serenity Prayer says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that You will make all things right if I surrender to Your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with You forever in the next. Amen. So wherever we're at today, whatever our battles may be, may this prayer be on our hearts. Maybe you come up with different I can statements. God is always going to be, never will change. He's unchanging. He's immutable. He will always be greater than whatever it is that we face. And I just want to invite everybody, if you will, stand up. I'm going to pray for us before we go into this last song. But if there's a burden on your heart, if there is a battle you're facing, whether it be stress, anxiety, loneliness, depression, or something else, finances, marriage, can you allow yourself, can you give yourself permission to take that burden and lay it at the foot of the cross? Lay it and put it beyond reach, because it's not your weight to carry. It was never meant to be your weight to carry. Because of Christ, you don't have to carry it any longer. So I invite you, as we go into this last song, I don't know if our prayer team's here, but if you are, then you can come forward and just receive prayer. And maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar just to say, God, I give this up to you today. It's not mine anymore. Whatever happens next is on you. I release it now.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us, share with a friend, and hit subscribe on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you stream your podcasts. Our mission is simple. Come to life, connect to grow, find your purpose, make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Life Church Podcast.